This morning, and I want to do what I do sometimes. I'd like for the young people, Chad, if I could get you and Kelly Beth maybe to move over here on the front row or somewhere, and Brother Bud, if I could maybe get you to trade with these boys. And the rest of you, just come on. You know the way it works by now. All right, that's good. Now, before we begin, let me pray. Father, in Jesus' name, help me this morning to preach what you want, Father, and to preach it the way you want it. Help me, Father. Just let me be a mouthpiece and you preach for me. Let me preach with power and help me to preach with unction. And Father, you be glorified. Speak to that heart that's nearest to hell. Speak to that soul that's wavering. Speak to that one that's discouraged and cast down. Oh God, please do a work in the lives of our members this morning. Help us, Father. That's what I'm saying. Help me. Help him. Oh God, do an eternal work in our midst, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. All right. I wanna preach maybe several messages. I don't know. Seem like it's been nudging me. Brother Allen, last Sunday morning your dad opened up with what I'm going to talk about today. And I had been studying on that some. And I almost wondered if maybe I missed it last week. And so I'm going to come back this week and preach to you and share with you some truths. Now, we've got a good Bible truth, and here's young people. Here's my concern for you all, and I don't want to be negative with you. I don't want to discourage you. But here's one thing I want you to think about. Don't be mechanical in this thing of serving God. Don't just do what you know's expected out of you and go through the motions and not really put your heart in it, but just know enough that you can fulfill your obligations. I call it being mechanical. The fact of the matter is, we can set this church on automatic pilot. Brother Allen, I could just tell us how we could do it. We'd come in, open up, go to Sunday school, come back up, have some announcements, three songs, three specials, preach a message, and go home. And singers know enough songs, they could just sing. They could just go through the motions of singing. And they can just go through the motions of teaching a Sunday school class. And we can just go through the motions of preaching you a message. And our heart never be in it. Our heart never be in it. And so I want to challenge you. I want to ask you this. Where is your heart? I don't know. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit. You know, from the heart, the mouth speaketh. I don't know, I'm already off of this, but just let me talk to you a little and then I'll try to preach to you on Proverbs 1 through 4 if the Lord will help me. What y'all talk about is an indication of what's on your heart. You know, I've never heard you all just sitting around talking about the Lord, how good He is. Wonder what this Scripture means. Now, here's what you say. Well, we're Bible quizzers. Some of you are. But you know what? I hear you talk a lot about Bible quizzing, but never about the Savior that you're quizzing about. And I don't understand that, really. I mean, I'm just... Maybe it comes from your parents. I don't know. You know, I've listened. I just listen to what people talk about. Because really, that's where the heart's at. That is what the Bible says. I could probably find it in just a minute if you didn't believe that. From the heart, the mouth speaketh. I hear you talk a lot about Bible quizzes, but not about the Savior. And that troubles me a little bit for you all. Not for me. I'm going to be off the scene after a while. But then I think about, let me tell you some things I've heard talked about. I hear the Little League talked about. I've heard that discussed here. I've heard the NBA discussed here. I've heard hunting and fishing talked about. I've heard Disney World talked about, maybe 30, 40 minutes talking about Disney World. I have heard parents say, you go to your room because we're going to talk about something we don't want you to hear. That's surely not the Lord they're getting ready to talk about. Maybe you're doing... I've heard websites talked about where you could see a funny video or something humorous or something, whatever. I've heard humorous events about what's happened on the job discussed. But here's the thing, but not the Lord. I'm way off of this, but just turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll get back on track here in just a minute. Here's what I'm saying. From the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's on the inside will be brought forth on the mouth, through the mouth. I want you to look. I told you what I hear talked about, but I want you to notice what the Word of God says we ought to talk about. What should you talk about? Mom and Dad, I guess I'm preaching to the parents a little bit right now. I just lost my place. What should you be talking about? You have very limited time with your children. If you work 8 hours and you sleep 8 hours and you take care of chores and things that have to be done and you give time to the church and Bible study, you really talk to your children not a whole lot. I don't know what that would be, 3 hours, 4 hours. I don't even know if it'd be that much. If you really stop and figure how much you talk to your children, what should you talk about? Should it be the NBA? The NFL? Should it be Disney World or your favorite pet? Should it be go to your room, we want to talk in private? Should it be what's happened on the job, funny, humorous events, websites? What does the Bible seem to teach? That's what I'm asking. What, parents, what should you talk about? In Deuteronomy chapter 6. And these, I'm in chapter 6, verse 6, as a matter of fact. Let's get verse 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Here's what I want you to get. It lines up with Matthew 22. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. The first thing it has to be is a love for the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. Young folks, what do you love? I know one thing you love is Fortnite. Stay up all night playing Fortnite. Now, I'm not picking on you. I just happen to know that about you. I know you love it or you wouldn't stay awake that long. It's a love. It's in your heart. And you love that. And there's other video games that others love and others do. What do you really love, young people? I believe many of you are saved. I believe that. But where's your love at? And mom and dad ought to set the example. Where's their love? You can measure it by what you talk about. You can measure your love. You can evaluate. You can make an examination of what has your heart by what you talk about. Now here's what the Bible says. First of all, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You need to get this in your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now that word diligently comes with it, with the idea, with care, with industry. Not negligently, not carelessly, but with effort, with persistence, with diligence, with industry. I mean, you work at doing, at teaching the children thy word. Now, first of all, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Has to be in the parents' heart first. Parents, evaluate what you talk to your children about. What do you talk about? Do y'all have spare time? You talk about the job? You talk about the future? You talk about school? Do you talk about this? Here's what the Bible says in verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. All right, let's let our minds just go for a minute. We're sitting in our houses with our children. What are we talking about? What are we discussing, mom and dad? You teach, here's what it says, teach diligently, with industry, with effort, with intent. Wholehearted. And shalt talk of them, that's the truth of the Word of God, when thou sittest in thine house. And not only when you're sitting in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, when you're in transit, when you're traveling, what do you talk about? And when thou liest down, when it's bedtime, you know, a lot of times things will get a little bit still right around bedtime. Sometimes not, but a lot of times people get tired and they start wearing down, they get still, and you get ready to lie down. What do y'all talk about? And if you do mention the Lord, what percent of the time is it? And if you do try to teach your children, what percent of the time is it, mom and dad? And is what you're talking about what the children talk about? Here's what this scripture says, and you all know this. And then it says, when thou liest down, you teach them diligently, and when thou risest up, thou teach them diligently. You know what I really think this is saying? And I know we can't just 100% talk about the Lord. There's other things that have to be discussed. But when we have free time to talk with our children, it ought to be around the Lord and the Word of God. And the fact of the matter is, if you love Him with all your heart, it'll automatically be. Because from the heart, the mouth speaketh. And that's the burden of my heart. And I don't want you to think I'm preaching down to you. I feel guilty myself with my grandchildren. I think we love the Lord, but if we really evaluate what we talk about when we have free time to talk, I think we find out we don't love the Lord like we think we do. And I don't know if this is coming across like I'm being tactful. I'm not trying to be. I'm just troubled over it. I'm troubled for me. And I'm troubled for you all. And then I see another generation coming up talking about the same things we talk about. young folk, what's on your heart's what you'll talk about. Now you just let your mind go back and start thinking about you, about your heart, about your conversation, what comes out of your mouth, that's where your heart is. I believe that's a biblical truth. I believe, mom and dad, you ought to evaluate your children, what comes out of their mouth. You know what? I'm afraid we're just mechanical. I'm afraid to some degree we're robotic. We know how to open up. You guys do a great job. But I don't know if your heart's in it every time. Only you can answer that. I can't answer that. It may be you don't know any better. Maybe your pastor's fault. You may not know to put your heart into God. I want to tell you, you ought to love God more than you love video games. Do you? You ought to love God more than you love Bible quizzing. You ought to love God more than you love sports. Where is your love? Where is your love? That's kind of the burden on my heart as we start through these Proverbs. I've never seen any of you get in the glory except Sister Grace and Brother Jimmy has, time or two. I've never seen God just settle in on you and just take over. Sister Sharon ain't going to be around forever. If I took Sister Sharon and Sister Kelly Beth and Brother Bud and Brother Allen sometimes, and maybe I'm overlooking one or two, the shout of this church would be gone. And they're going to be gone one day. Young folk, what has your heart? It's a burden of my heart for you. What has your heart? You may not be able to do like your parents do. And may not be spiritual enough for you to follow them. I don't know. I care about you. I wouldn't say what I've said to you. I don't want you to play church. I want somewhere, my prayer is that God will get a hold of your heart. You'll give Him all. Just give Him all. I just want to ask you before I go any farther. I want to ask you this. What has your heart, young folk? What has your heart? Does the Lord have first place in your life? Yeah, I know I hadn't ever roughed you up much. I hadn't ever said anything like that to you. But some of you are getting old enough. And really, it doesn't matter how old you are. You can give your heart to God at a young age. And can I just tell you this, young folk? Don't waste your youth. Don't waste your youth. It's good years that God can use. If this church ever sees revival, I believe it'll start right here on these first three pews. I believe four pews, I'm sorry. Start with the first four pews. I'm concerned about your heart. Concerned about it. And I'm gauging it by what I hear come out of your mouth so long. And I don't want you to be scared to talk when I'm around. I understand what I'm saying, but it makes it awkward sometimes for you. But I want you to I want you to evaluate your life. The Lord has burdened me in a great way. And I know within sitting on these four pews, there's more potential. There's more potential. The devil is scared to death of what's sitting on these front four pews. I know that y'all have potential to do great things for God.
Yes, sir.
But you're going to have to give Him your heart. That's got to be. You've got to give Him your heart. I don't know if you have. I don't even know if you want to. I don't even know if you can. I just know this. I'm afraid we're mechanical. And so having said that, I want to go to the Proverbs. I want to talk to you. Now there's a couple of ways to take folks who are not smart, young people who are not smart, and make them wise. There's at least two ways. And let me see if I can find my verse. I'm looking for the verse that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Does anybody know where that's at? I wrote down the wrong passage. 22:15. I had 22:5. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So we know, number one, that discipline drives foolishness from the heart of a child. But then we come over to Proverbs and we see this, that instruction or the Word of God will take a simple-minded man and make him subtle or make him wise. It will do things in his life. So I want to preach to you this morning, maybe just give you an overview of what's going on in chapters 1 and chapters number 2. And here's what we'll find. We'll find four or five groups of people. You can find more, but four or five prominent groups. First of all, we'll find parents. You'll find parents in this passage. And then second of all, you'll find sinners. We see that in verse number 10. If sinners. And then you'll find wisdom. In chapters 1 through 9, wisdom is personified as if she's a person. She cries out in the streets. She uttereth her voice in the streets in verse number 20. In verse 21, she crieth in the chief place of concourse. Chapters 1 through chapters 9 deals with wisdom. And if you look, we see parents, we see the sinner, we see wisdom. In chapter 2 and verse 12, you see the evil man. In chapter 2 and verse 16, you see the strange woman. And those are five. Now here's what the smartest man who ever lived wrote this to his son. And he's trying to make him wise. And he mentions five classes. I'm going to say five people, and I'm including wisdom in that. He mentions five people, and he says this: you listen to some of them, but you avoid the others. You listen to some of them, what they have to say, but you avoid the others. Now I want to just maybe, and see here's the great truth that you get out of the Proverbs. The first thing he mentions is the company you keep. The first thing he mentions is who you communicate with and who you fellowship with and who you're to stay away from. You do know there's some people you're to stay away from. You know that, young people? Shake your head yes if you know that. Ben, shake your head yes for me. Little more. There you go. I can't tell when you go, like, yeah. Here's what I'm saying. You better be careful who you run with. That's the first concern of the smartest man that ever lived. First concern he had for his son. The first thing he said, and you can read this, but I'm going to jump around a little bit because I'm going to cover maybe several passages. But he says in verse number 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Now I understand we're talking about godly parents here. And I know some people personify that or type that or make that symbolic. I think that's talking about your parents. Now here's what you tend to do as you get to be a teenager. You make fun of your parents. Well, they can't do this, they can do that. Yeah, they're this or that. Here's what the smartest man that ever lived said to his son: "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." That means the father ought to be giving some instruction to you. It ought to be a Deuteronomy 6:6 situation in your home, and you ought to listen when your mom and dad talk to you. Godly mom and dad. If you don't have a godly mom and dad, you're going to have to get past it. God's going to have to help you get past it. But right here, the first thing he said, listen to your parents. You know why? There's nobody that cares about you more than your godly mama and your godly daddy. Amen. And here's what's inside of you in your flesh is you want to be smarter than mom and dad. You think you're clever and you think they're archaic and you think they don't know anything about you or about your life. Can I tell you, they've walked down the same road you've traveled not too long ago. Ben, how old are you? 13. 30 years ago, your dad was sitting right where you're sitting. Within a few years, sitting right where you're sitting. That's right. That's not too long ago that he doesn't know and remember what it's like to be a 13-year-old boy. Brady, you're 17, and it's about the same difference. But your daddy and your mama, they love you and they care about you. Caleb, your mom and dad love you and care about you. And here's what he said. You listen to them. Now, if they're not godly, that's a whole different, we're in a whole different situation. Some of you have to go home today. You go home to ungodly homes. And I know that. I'm talking about those of you who have a godly father and mother. Here's what he says. Hear their instruction and forsake not the law. Here's what they're saying. Here's what he's saying to him. A godly mom and dad will give you godly instruction. Listen. You know why he said that? Because there's a tendency on your part not to listen. Here's what I call it. I call it hard-headedness. I'm as hard-headed as anybody, any young person. I look back with shame on my life. I'm so hard-headed. I would not listen. And I'm ashamed of it. And it costs me. Listen to godly parents. Listen to godly parents. You know what they'll tell you to do? You know what godly parents will tell you to do? Give your heart to the Lord. That's what they'll tell you. Here's what they'll say. I don't care what you do, just as long as you're for God. want you to be. That's right, godly parents. Ain't that right? Am I telling it right? Or do you want to make all the money they can make? I'm telling you, you need to listen to godly parents. But then in verse number 10, he said, here's a crowd you don't listen to. My sinners, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Then he goes through and he explains who he's talking about. And in this case, he's talking about sinners, verse number 19, that is greedy of gain, and they'll do whatever they need to do to get what they want. And here's what they'll say, you come join up with us and we'll be good to you. Verse 14, look at your Bibles. Cast thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. In other words, you join up with us and it'll be profitable for your life. He says, listen to mom and dad. But then he says, don't listen to sinners. And these sinners was harming other people to get what they wanted. You watch out for people always trying to step on somebody else to get where they want to go. And you can do that in more ways than physical. You can do that with your mouth. You can put people down to look big. Can I tell you, that's not godly. That's ungodly. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 20. I'm not going to go through the whole. It runs all the way to verse 33. And it basically says this, that we ought to listen to wisdom. Wisdom crieth without, and she uttereth her voice in the street. In verse 23, she says this, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Here's what it says, when I tell you you're wrong, you need to turn. If the Holy Ghost speaks to you this morning, you need to change. You need to repent. Turn. God, I'm wrong and you're right. And I'm sorry. And I'm going to line up by your word. You see, wisdom. You know, and I can give you the verse in chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. What it says. Let me just tell you what this amounts to. The Word of God is wisdom. God's Word has wisdom in it. As you receive the Word of God and you act on it and you turn to it and away from your ways, you're exercising, you are conducting yourself in a way that will make you wise with your life. And this thing is just loaded. You could preach for months on it, but you need to listen to the Word of God. Now that Word of God may come, you need to listen when you're reading your Bible. You need to listen to the Word of God when the man of God's preaching. Sometimes we're playing. Let me just say that. Sometimes our mind is out there somewhere. Sometimes we're fiddling with our neighbor, maybe grinning. I've seen sometimes I'm up preaching, y'all just grinning at one another over something. I don't say anything about it, but you're not listening. You need to listen when the preaching, the Word of God's going on. When the teacher in the Sunday school class is teaching. When you're having godly fellowship, and maybe you do, and I just hadn't heard it, godly fellowship around the things of the Word of God, y'all listen. When the Holy Ghost brings one of them scriptures, you Bible quizzers is memorized and brings it to your heart, makes it real in your life, you need to listen. Why? Because it'll make you wise. It'll make you wise, wisdom. And you say, well, why? Why should I be wise? Here's what he says in Proverbs 4:7. Brother King read it the other morning. Wisdom is the principal thing. You know what that means? It's the main thing. Let me read that verse again to you. I suspect some of you maybe don't even remember. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Let me read another one to you. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to that. What do you desire? I mean, really, what do you desire? I'm thinking in your heart, maybe some of you desire to have a girlfriend. Maybe some of you desire to have a job. Maybe some of you desire to have a car. Maybe some of you desire to have money. But you know what the Bible says? Wisdom is the desire, is to be desired more than anything. How many of you have said this? Oh God, just make me wise. Oh God, just make me wise. You know where wisdom comes from? It comes from God. I can't give you wisdom. I can give you God's Word, and God can give you wisdom through that Word. Wisdom comes from God. It's the principal thing. And Solomon said this to his son, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes." He's talking about wisdom and understanding. "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." In other words, once you get it, keep it. There's been a lot of folks had wisdom, and then they let the lure of the world pull them away. And they lost what they had. Do you know the world's going to start pulling on you boys? It won't be long, the world say, come with me, Ben. Come, Ben, I want you to go with me. And they'll start trying to shape you. The Bible word is conform. Be ye not conformed to this world. Oh, the world's going to say, Ben, if you'll just cast your lot in with us, we'll share one purse. Oh, he'll say, Josh, if the world will say, if you'll just go with us, we'll make it profitable. You'll be happy. You have to do like we do. Can I tell you, a lot of God's young people have bought that truth. But can I tell you, it's a lie. It's just a lie, young people. It's a lie straight from hell. The world cannot make you happy. And when you get godly wisdom, don't turn loose of it. Don't turn loose. You're to listen to wisdom. You're to listen to your parents. You're not to listen to the sinner who's, as we looked in the verse, let me see if I can find it, verse 19, who's greedy of gain and will do anything to get what he wants and will step on anybody and do anybody wrong and go to whatever length he needs to go just to get what he wants and do what he wants to do. Don't listen to him. Then we come down to chapter 2. Let me see if I can find it. Verse 12, instead of the sinner, he says this time, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. And this is the man that speaketh froward things. Not forward, but froward. It means fraud or perversity. He speaks wickedness. Hey, can I just tell you this? When you catch somebody speaking wickedly, stay away from them. Just stay away from them. Some of you in the public schools, you have to go, and there's wicked people there. Stay away from them. They start talking wickedness and walking in wicked ways. Leave them alone. Separate from them. And then we see, fifthly, you're to stay away from the strange woman. The strange woman. My, I could just preach here, and I have before several messages. Let me just tell you, I'll just share what this says. And there's about four or five passages in Proverbs. He just keeps coming back to the strange woman. Here's what it said, which forsaketh the guide of her. First of all, it says, which flattereth with her words. Now listen, we're talking about the woman. Ladies, can I just tell you this? It applies to the strange man. We're talking about the opposite sex. That's what we're talking about. And here's what they do. This woman has lost her purity, has lost her innocence. And what she's trying to do is drag somebody down with her. And she has. And she has already, if you read the text. And here's what she does to do it. She does not come and say, Ben, I'm going to pick on you. You're right in the center. And I'm not singling you out. You're just handy. Here's what she says. She doesn't say, Ben, I want to ruin your life. I want to drag you down where I'm at. I want to rob you of what I've been robbed of. Here's what she does. She flatters you. She flatters you. You ladies, he flatters you. They know how to say what they know you'll like to hear. They're experienced. I'm telling it right, aren't I? I don't think I'm going too far this morning saying that to these young people. I mean, y'all are getting old. I want you to know, they'll flatter you. You can't go by what they say. They know what to say. From the verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger with flattereth with her words. Notice what it says, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. Now that could be her parents. Many scholars think that's talking about her husband that she married in her youth, who was to guide her, maybe. I don't know. Some think it's talking about the Word of God. She's forsaken the Word of God that was to guide her life. You might could put all those under that category and be right with it. But she forsook the guide of her youth. I mean, at one time she was guided. You can't forsake something unless you're yoked up with it. She has forsaken the guide of her youth. One time she was being guided in the right way, but she's left that way, you see. And she wants to drag you down that way. You better watch that. You better be careful. When somebody starts flattering you, there needs to be a red flag comes up in your life. She flattered. She left the guide of her youth. Let's see what else it says about her. And forgetteth the covenant of her God. You can't forget unless you knew previously. You can't forget something you never did know. She knew about God. She knew the covenant between her and her God. And she forgot it. She just let it go. Not going that route. not going with God. I know what it is to be right with God. I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to follow the guide of my youth. And I want you. I want you. I'm flattering you so I'd make a victim out of you also. Here's what the wisest man that ever lived, he's told his son, you better watch that evil man and that strange woman. Notice what it says about that opposite sex that's trying to drag you down. Verse 18, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that goeth unto her return again. Can I tell you, when you've lost your purity, you can never get it back. When you've lost your innocence, it's gone. Gone forever. You can get forgiveness. No doubt about that. Millions upon millions have. But when it's gone, it's gone. You can never return back to that original state. Here's how I got started on this. I got troubled over the heart. Where are y'all's hearts on that? I'm still troubled over it. And I read over there in chapter 4 and verse 23, to keep thy heart with all diligence. There's that word again. For out of it is the issues of life. And then I just started studying. And you know what these things, these people I'm talking about can do to you? They can get your heart. They can get your heart. They can steal your heart. For you love them more than you love God. I'm thinking Karen knows exactly who I'm talking about. A young individual in the church she attended. Maybe one of the most godly girls I knew in Harriman High School. When I was in school, I mean she was real. I believe it with all my heart. I believe she was real. And I could tell you some particulars, and it might go on the air and somebody figure out who it is, and I won't do it, but she had an ungodly home. And to make a long story short, she fell in love with a sinner. Her goal in life was to be a missionary. She would testify, and you could feel the power of God. You could just sense God was on this girl. She fell in love. She started seeing first a sinner. She put herself in a position, and she fell in love with a sinner and married that man. And as far as I know today, she's not in church. This girl was, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, she's just top notch. But that sinner man got her heart, and she loved him more than she loved God. And it may not be a video game. It may be some girl someday, some boy someday. It may be some goal that you have someday that's ungodly. It may be a desire for riches. I don't know what the devil, but the devil knows what to use on you. Here's what I'm saying to you today. Who's got your heart? Something has your heart. We're made to love something, young folk. We're just made that way. Something has our heart. Mom and Dad, something has your all's heart. You can tell what it is by what comes out of your mouth. If the Bible's true, and it is, you can tell what's in your heart, what comes out of your mouth. And here's what I'm saying. Would you consider giving your heart to God? Maybe you love this or that more. You don't want nobody to know it. Nobody has to know it. Just you and God. Why don't you just think about loving Him supremely? Can I tell you, video games didn't save you from hell. Video games didn't give their life for you. video games didn't look down through time and say they need the Savior. And video games didn't say, I'll go to the cross. And if it's not video games, plug in whatever's got your heart there. And just ask yourself what's got your heart. And then I want to ask you, would you give it to the Lord? Would you just say, Lord, help me to give my heart to You wholeheartedly. Mom and Dad, maybe it's going to have to start with you. Maybe it's going to have to start with a pastor. Maybe it's going to have to start with somebody. I don't know. But somebody. I just wonder if anybody loves the Lord. I just wonder if anybody wants to serve Him with all their heart and give everything to Him because He's been so good to you. I just wonder that. I remember when I got saved, I wanted Him to have everything. I was just a kid, but boy, I didn't just get saved, I got gloriously saved. Is there anybody wants to give themselves to the Lord with all their heart? Let's bow our heads. I'm through this morning. It's just the burden of my heart. Young folk, please don't play around. Don't waste your youth. Please don't waste your youth. Parents, please don't play with your parenting. Oh, God help us. God help us. Oh, would you give Him your heart today? I preach to the young folk, but I'm telling you it's an epidemic with the old folk as well. Would you give me a heart? Love Him supremely above all else with all your heart, mind, and soul. What has your heart this morning? That's my burden. That is my burden.